Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, and my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author. We get a glimpse into their lives, we ask them what prompts them to write, and we introduce you to their work and hear them read. And this week, we're very pleased to welcome Ellen Curry. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Ellen was born in Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe. In 1961, she emigrated to Canada with her husband and two young sons. For 8 years, she worked as a school secretary before opening Inner Space Dive Store in Oshawa. She ran this for 10 years and then spent 18 as a volunteer helping people with special needs. Now retired, Ellen lives for 6 months each year in Coburg and the other 6 in Arizona. Recently, Ellen published Volume 2 of her collection of life stories called Be Careful What You Think. She has also published 2 children's books and has stories in recent anthologies, magazines, and newspapers. It seems highly appropriate, then, that Ellen is also the author of a pamphlet called Aging? Not Me, Too Busy Enjoying Life. So why did you decide to leave Africa and come to Canada?
Back in 1961, the Mau Maus, who were in Kenya, were becoming active. There, the black people were being told to kill the white people who they worked for. Can you imagine what that must have been like, to be told that you have to kill somebody that is you work with day after day, somebody who has become your friend, not only your employer, but your friend as well? Both Brian and I felt that this would breed extreme prejudice, and we did not want our 2 boys to grow up with that kind of atmosphere. And so we felt we had no choice. We felt we had to leave Africa. And because Canada was also British, we had no problem getting into it. So that was our choice.
I think you made a good one.
Yeah, well, yes.
What did you do when you came to Canada?
I worked in a school as a school secretary for the first 8 years, and then after that opened the Inner Space Dive Store in Oshawa, a scuba diving store and school.
That's a big switch. I go from being a secretary to opening a dive store. Were you a diver yourself?
I became one. My young son, who was big for his age, wanted to learn to scuba dive, and they would not take him unless he had a parent going with him. And as I was the water baby and was teaching swimming at the Y at the time, I was designated. And I wanted to see what kind of people my young son would be dealing with when he would go away for the weekends diving. So I took the course, and after having taken the course, he was so embarrassed. I was the only woman in a class of men who were all in their ages from 18 to about 30. And he was so embarrassed at having to have mom there. So I made very sure that I was able to do everything they were going to be taught the next week, so as not to embarrass him any more than usual. And then I worked so hard to get that little piece of paper that said I was a registered scuba diver. I thought I might as well complete the thing and do 1 open water dive, which was what was required at the time. I thought, put your face in that dirty water. I mean, there's mud all over and who knows what else is in there. But I decided I would do it. I went down with the instructor, and while we were down there, there were several fish swimming around, and he took a piece of bread, gave it to me, I held it out, and a fish swam by and nibbled on the bread. That was it. I was hooked.
Yeah. And it certainly gave you fodder for your stories, because those are the kind of things you write about, isn't
that? That's right,
yeah,
yes.
In your book. It's not just diving that you write about. Have you followed other passions?
Oh, yes. I'm still an avid golfer. When I'm in Arizona, I golf 3 times a week. When I'm back in Canada, only twice. Not hitting the ball as far as I used to, but still enjoying it and enjoying the people that I'm with for the couple of hours that you're on the golf course. And it's always beautiful scenery.
Yeah. Well, I believe you're going to read to us from one of your other experiences, and this time also associated with water, but this time rafting, whitewater rafting, no less.
Yes. The gray metal raft was 50 feet long and 15 feet wide, with two rubber pontoons on either side. In the middle were wooden seats that would hold two bodies, each with a rail in front. The back was big enough to hold two engines. We were told that the raft could hold up to 20 people. I was glad that we were just only half full, giving us more movable space. We were handed bright orange life vests and told that we were to wear them at all times. Sean was our captain. The rapids are measured 1 to 10, 1 being a gentle glide over without having to hold on. Anything above 5 was more difficult. Hold on with both hands and a hard grip. Our first rapid was Badger Creek at mile 10. It was a 6-8. Yahoo! I was glad to have had a big pair of dark sunglasses on to shield my eyes from the splash, but it was fun to feel the raft lift up off the river and then come crashing down with a wall of water washing over us. The second rapid, Soap Creek, at mile 12 was a 1-2, and so was Sheer Wall at mile 15. Just a gentle wave to glide over. The canyon walls were so high. It was like being the size of an ant and looking up at 150-foot walls. At this point, the canyon walls were all different shades of dark browns to pale shades of beige, and we saw our first mountain goats. Amazing the way they were so sure-footed, and on what seemed like impossible terrain, navigating by leaping onto small ledges. There were several small animals scurrying from bush to bush as big black hawks glided to and fro, making use of the air currents and updrafts and barely moving a wing as they searched for their next meal. That night, I had placed my bedroll on the beach so that I was able to hear the water lapping on the shoreline. It was wonderful lying all snug in my sleeping bag and looking up at the millions of stars with no lights anywhere to spoil the view, no bugs, just clean, fresh air and the lapping water. The next morning, we came to the House Rock Rapid at mile 20. It was an 8-10. That's just what it looked like. This gigantic rock about the size of a house right in the middle of the river. Sean started up both engines, and I think most of us were holding our breath as the raft had to go dead straight for the rock, and then about 50 feet from the rock, make a sharp 300-degree turn to the right, allowing the current to push us away around the rock. We all cheered as we let out our breath and viewed the rock that was now behind us. Sean later told us that this was where he'd had to call on a helicopter to help. It took two of them with their engines at full throttle and several thick wire cables to extradite the raft off the rock. Such was the power of the current. The group had been pinned to the rock and stuck there for over 4 hours. The passengers had all been men that were in a supervisory capacity from a Wall Street investment company based in New York. They were on a week-long training session to work on their team management skills. The rest of the day passed very pleasantly, gliding down the river and taking on 32 more rapids, none of them as spectacular as House Rock. They were interesting and fun, but not to hold your breath, suck in your gut and pray type. Sitting around the campfire that night, we took turns telling about our childhood days and what our plans were for the next 5 years. More bonding and getting to know each other. By now, we were all on very friendly terms.
Well, thank you, Ellen. I presume you were 20 years old when you did that.
just a little bit older. Actually, it was Brian's gift to me for my 60th birthday.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, thank you. And now I think we'll take a short break.